the Better Health Radio Show with the good doctor, Dr. Renee Boyce. And as usual, she has her guest in place. It's two, so guests in place. And on this occasion, though, Doc, good evening to you, ma'am.
Good evening, Grayson. How are you?
I am not too bad. We have a sponsor today, so we must make sure that we mention them. AA Lachise Limited. And I just want to tell you before you start that this segment is brought to you with the kind compliments of Hospital Pack Adult Disposable Briefs, another trusted brand of AA Lachise. Call AA Lachise at 271-0180 and visit their store at Lanterns Mall. If you didn't know, now you do. Good evening, Doc, once again.
Good evening. Oh,
That was your cue.
No, but you had said...
That was your cue.
No, you had said that you were... I thought you were going to play something. Good evening, everybody. And
we'll do that during the show.
Okay, my bad.
That's all right.
Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. And we want to say a big thank you to AA Lachise. This evening, do I have any shout-outs? Only one. We have to say hi to Betty from St. Philip, who... if she were not married, would probably be in love with Gregston.
Really?
Yes, yes.
And I put a smile on my face.
Yes, she loves to hear you on the radio. She loves to hear you on the radio. She loves the music. She says, you know, you seem as though you're feeling this thing. So good evening to Betty and Raul and your family over there.
In that case, say good evening again to her.
Okay. So that's a special good evening from
Thank
Gregston
you, my dear.
Too. This evening we have on the show Dr. Dawn Grosvenor. This show today is all about eyes. All about eyes. And it would be an ophthalmologist who would be able to tell us everything about eyes. And actually, I just looked around and everybody in here wears glasses. I was actually lamenting the fact earlier today that I really have gotten old. I now officially cannot read without my glasses. I feel very, very badly about that.
It will happen to all of us. Don't feel bad.
Okay. Well, fine. I don't. But, you know, there are some people who are like 90-something and they're reading their Bibles at the proper reading distance without aid of spectacles, you know. And I'm not even halfway there and I need glasses now. But anyway, we're talking all about glaucoma. There's a week coming up. There are many activities. But we are going to start with the basics of eyes. I think for us to understand glaucoma, we need to understand... how do we see? How do we look at something and then all of a sudden there is an image?
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me on again.
Actually, Dawn, even before we do that,
yeah.
I think we need to let the public know a little bit about Dr. Dawn Grosvenor. You can tell us a little bit about what you do socially, but I think the listeners would be very interested in what do you do professionally? Because it's all well and good to say, you know, like I'll go to the eye doctor. So
sure.
What is an eye doctor? Let's start there.
Let's start there. Okay, what do I do? So I'm an eye doctor, also known as an ophthalmologist. So it's easier just to say eye doctor. And often people associate us with, yes, checking the eyes, but sometimes with prescribing glasses. And it's important to differentiate the eye doctor ophthalmologist from the optometrist, who is also an eye care professional that can examine the health of your eye. They tend to prescribe glasses as more of their primary function. They're more so than we do, but they also check the eye, the health of the eye as well.
Mm-hmm.
If they find, so your optometrist is who you will generally go to at the different optical places to get your eyes checked for glasses or contact lenses, and then you'll realize that as things have progressed over time, the profession of optometry is really expanded, and you'll find that our optometrists in Barbados also will check the health of the eye. They might do a diabetic check for the back of the eye. They might also look at the nerve of the eye for glaucoma. And if they detect anything abnormal, then they would refer you to the eye doctor, the ophthalmologist. That's where you generally would meet us. And we would do a thorough check, make a diagnosis, and treat any problems that are detected.
What got you into ophthalmology, just out of curiosity?
Oh, wow. That happened in medical school quite early. And, you know, we go through many different disciplines and you're trying to pin down which one is really calling to you. And I found that when I did ophthalmology, it was easy to acquire the skills where other people seem to be struggling. And where other people seem to be bored watching cataract surgery, which is the mainstay of ophthalmology training, I felt like I could watch cataract surgery after cataract surgery again and again and again. And then as I you sort of evolved through the profession, got qualified and so on. I realized it was a real need and a real opportunity to fulfill the whole mission that propelled me into medicine, which was really to help people.
To help people.
Yeah. And this is a career where you can really have an impact on people's lives quite immediately and for the long term.
And one of the other things I found fascinating about ophthalmology is that sometimes medical conditions, other medical conditions are diagnosed by the ophthalmologist. So believe it or not, an ophthalmologist is a doctor.
Yes, definitely. We go through the full medical school training. And then we do ophthalmology training after that for somewhere between 4 to 7 years, depending on where you train. And then if you decide to specialize in something like glaucoma, as I have, then you add extra training, extra years of training onto that. And that is where the difference is between the ophthalmologists, we're medical doctors, qualified, etc., and the optometrists who they're not medical doctors, but they do a focused optometry degree for 3 or 4 years.
So let's get back to the foundation of glaucoma, I think, would be to figure out how do we see.
Mm-hmm. So you're right. To understand any disease of the eye, you really have to understand what's normal.
Yeah.
We see when light rays bounce off of the objects that we're looking at, they enter the eye, and they're focused on the specialized tissue at the back of the eye, the retina, which is nerve tissue. Those signals then go through the optic nerve, which is the nerve at the back of the eye, and we only have one optic nerve in each eye. It's a very big nerve. It has lots of different fibers like cables running through it, but still, there's only one in each eye. And then those two optic nerves, one from each eye, they travel together to the brain where the signals are interpreted, and then we figure out what we're seeing.
So at any particular point along that train, from where the light is bouncing off objects all the way to when it reaches the brain, you can have a problem leading to changes in your vision.
Exactly.
So today's session we're going to focus on the optic nerve, which mm-hmm. is where glaucoma mm-hmm. Arises. Mm-hmm. Let's have a definition of what glaucoma is.
So we say that glaucoma is a disease of the optic nerve, you're right, the nerve of the eye. And it is a slowly progressing condition, generally. We're not sure why exactly it begins, but we know there's some risk factors associated with it. It causes a very slow kind of damage to the nerve that we can pick up on examination, but it is painless, so persons might not know this is happening. The only time you realize that the nerve is being damaged is when it starts to affect the sight. Now, glaucoma is so tricky that it's called the silent thief of sight or the sneak thief of sight, because that damage really creeps up on you because it affects the nerve in such a way that the part of the vision that's affected first is the peripheral vision, far out to the side. The vision we don't even realize is there.
Exactly.
So when it starts to get damaged, you don't notice. It's only when you've lost so much of the peripheral vision that it starts to close in on the central vision that people then realize there's a problem. But by then, it's too late. By that time, about 90% of the vision is already gone.
And so that's why they call it tunnel vision, because it looks as though you're just focusing in a tunnel. You can't see anything out to the left or out to the right. And perhaps our listeners can actually try.
Yes.
Just looking straight ahead and see if you can pick up things to your left or right without actually looking to the left or right. And that's where your peripheral or outside vision is, when you're not looking directly at an object in the periphery or outside and you can still see it.
Exactly.
And that's where glaucoma starts to do its damage.
Absolutely.
And you said it's painless.
Painless.
I think one of the things, if only more diseases were painful. It sounds
funny, but
yes, but perhaps
and
then
you better explain yourself before somebody
uh-huh. accosts me. Yes. What I mean
by
that,
I know what you mean to say, but just explain to them.
Yes. What I mean is that perhaps persons would more likely or more readily pay attention to something that causes pain rather than doing routine checks for something that's potentially sight-threatening. I nearly said life-threatening, but sight-threatening. And it's a good thing that I just saw Gregston. I forgot to give the numbers. I don't know. This age thing really is it's happening.
Welcome
first, my eyes, now my memory.
Welcome to the club.
If you want to call us here in the studio, those digits are 434-1790. If you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. 434-1790 and 266-4862. We're in with Dr. Don Grosvenor. You see, the problem was mine because we have a call. So let's take that call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. If you would be so kind as to turn your radio down for us because we're getting a little bit of feedback there.
Surely. I'm sorry.
That's not a problem at all. We're in with Dr. Don Grosvenor. We're discussing glaucoma today. Glaucoma.
Yes. I want to discuss glaucoma.
Yes.
That's a serious issue right now with a lot of people. So tell me, is it curable?
Thanks for that question. You're right that it's a serious issue with lots of people. We have a very high prevalence of glaucoma in Barbados, and it's so serious for precisely the reason that it is not curable. So we can't take it away. If you have glaucoma, we can control it and preserve the vision. And I often say that in this day and age in Barbados, where we have access to healthcare, we have access to medications and surgery, we have a glaucoma specialist, yours truly, there's no reason why anyone in Barbados should be losing sight from glaucoma. However, that loss of sight still happens because, like we were just saying, it's a sneaky disease. It doesn't have any signs or any symptoms until very late. So if you're not checked for it early enough, if it's not detected early, then by the time people come, it's very hard for us to hold on to what little vision is left.
Right. So usually when we get towards the end of the show, the guest doctors or whomever else is in the studio, they usually leave some take-home points. And I think that's one of the things that we want to, even before we get towards the end of the studio, let persons know glaucoma is not curable.
Yes.
We cannot give you back your sight.
It's not reversible. So at the moment that you're diagnosed, the best we can do then is preserve the sight that you have going forward. So of course, the earlier you're picked up, the more sight you have, and the better chance you have of retaining all that sight for your whole life.
So you can retain your sight for the rest of your life?
You can retain your sight, yes. We can't reverse it, but you can retain your sight.
How can you do that?
We'll discuss that, sir, a little later on, because there are some other foundational things that I want to get in place before we go on to how it's managed. But that is a very good question.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to hear that from you guys as to what to do to manage it and what techniques you should use and what you should use on your eyes and with your eyes, if there are some natural things you can do, or you have to use the medication that is prescribed by doctors.
Yes, we have a wealth of information for you coming up in this hour. So listen out, sir.
Okay, thank you so much.
And thank you for your question.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
So simply by the fact that glaucoma is not painful, how does a person recognize that he or she, or what would prompt them to be checked?
Because it really absolutely has no symptoms. Many people are picked up incidentally. Mm-hmm. So something else may happen to your eye. You may get a bit of discomfort or grittiness, and it brings you to the eye doctor or the optometrist. And while they're examining for that problem, they look at your nerve and realize this is also there.
Oh, dear. And I'll give you a story about a child that I met. I can't remember if I shared this with you before, but we'll still share it. We have a call. Let's take that call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Doc. Greston, good evening.
Yes, sir, good evening.
Right. What is it that is believed that in Cuba, you don't see many persons wearing glasses? They've got a unique kind of technique that they're very good with this eye surgery, preservation of sight, et cetera, in Cuba. They had a branch, or there was a section at the QEH, a clinic sponsored by Cubans.
Was that Winston Scott?
That was some years ago,
right,
when I think that we had the Cuban Eye Care Program,
right,
which was a government initiative. If I remember correctly, I wasn't in Barbados at the time, but if I remember correctly, that was a government initiative to try to deal with our cataract surgical backlog.
Mm-hmm.
For a finite amount of time, so you would not find that clinic still in existence. So it wasn't sponsored by the Cubans. I believe it was initiated, you know, through the government with the assistance of Cuba. But, you know, it's
right,
important to remember that this wearing of glasses or contact lenses is a different thing from a lot of the medical problems in the eye, like glaucoma or cataract. Wearing glasses is just about how your eyes focus or the assistance they need to focus. And there are different techniques where we can try to adjust people's focuses to try to eliminate that. But for many people, that is almost a cosmetic endeavor, because if I give persons the option of having an operation to get rid of their glasses or to wear the glasses, some people would say, well, actually, I don't really want anybody messing with my eyes. I'm quite good with my glasses. And some people would say, I don't like the glasses. Do what you have to do. So there are things that can be done, but it's almost a cosmetic thing. It's a choice. Unlike something like glaucoma or a cataract, where this is a medical problem now. It's not a choice of doing something about it. You absolutely have to be treated.
I've got a second question in that I've encountered my friend this week. He just had an op for cataract, and I asked him how is his sight improving, if there's any. He says he actually is about his sight after the op. So I said, well, you need to get, he's in pursuit of a second opinion as to what could have transpired, because with the op, he figured that there should have been some mark improvement. Apparently there isn't, so I don't know if you have anything to say in regard to after an op for cataract and then he's back to the side, what could have likely transpired there.
Oh boy.
I appreciate your efforts, and I listen for any comment, please.
Sure. I'm gonna have to be clairvoyant to answer this one, but I always try to emphasize to patients that every eye is different. Even the two eyes that are in the same head belonging to one person, they can have different things going on, different diseases, different severities. So the best thing for that gentleman to do is to have a discussion with his doctor, because, you know, gone are the days where, you know, the patient should sit quietly and just take the information we give. We really need this partnership where people share with us what's on their mind so that we can allay those fears. Maybe it's early days and he just has to wait a little longer for improvement. But he won't know unless he asks the question, so he must ask the question.
But quick question before you get back to Dr. Boyce. With the use of technology now, the outcome of success is markedly higher, I'm assuming.
Very much so. Of cataract surgery, glaucoma surgery, all surgeries. And when we get to talk a little bit later on about treatments, we'll talk about some new things we're doing even for glaucoma surgery in Barbados.
One of the things that I do want to mention is that usually I don't remember things about upcoming shows, but I do know, even although we've planned for several weeks down the road, I do know that there's a show coming up just on vision and helping people to see with glasses and so on, and the different things, surgical things that you would have just mentioned. So remember, you really do have to listen out to the Better Health Radio Show. There's lots that you can learn. We'll take this call and then we'll discuss how do patients feel when they're being examined. Some persons are actually afraid of going to the doctor, so we'll discuss that. Let's take this call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
Yes. Hello. Yes. I'm calling to ask you something. I was diagnosed with advanced glaucoma in my eyes. Right past the nerve of my eyes is damaged. I have blurry visions all now. Could you tell me what is advanced? It's more higher than a normal glaucoma?
Okay, that's a great question. When we talked about what glaucoma is, we said that it's damage to the nerve of the eye. So depending on how much damage we see, we can grade it as early, moderate, or advanced. So say if you have 10% damage to the nerve, we would consider that early. If you have 90% damage to the nerve or more than 90%, then we consider that advanced. Now you would be surprised that even with 10% of your nerve remaining, you can still see. It is just that the quality of the vision would not be as good as if you had more nerve function. And
yes,
that might
because because they cannot work now.
Right, so that might be part of what is happening, that there's so much damage there that it's now affected the nerve so much that there's not enough remaining nerve function to see.
And you say that it don't carry pain, but
not
I remember
usually.
October last year, I was sitting down one evening and come on with this headache, like wrong way forward, right? And less than an hour, my head, my forehead start hurting me so bad that the pain even made me vomit.
Oh dear.
And then I went, could not see for about hours. Everything was glary.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the doctor, the eye specialist, and she told me that I have pressure in the back of my eyes, not knowing it was glaucoma. But after I get the appointment at the eye care clinic at the hospital, the consultant told me I have advanced glaucoma.
Yeah, I mean, for most people, there's no pain and no symptom. But for the minority, if your pressure goes so astronomically high, mm-hmm. that your eye will start to, you know, give you some pain. Yeah. But it's not usual. So we try not to encourage people to wait until they get pain to get checked. Because the way to save, to prevent getting to an advanced level of glaucoma is to get your eyes checked early. And one of the things,
you know... But I'm 61 years of age.
You're 61, exactly. In most countries, they recommend people to get their eyes checked when they're over 65 or maybe over 40. But in Barbados, because of the large risk for glaucoma, I advise people to get their eyes checked from the time they're an adult, from 21. You get your first eye checked so that you know what is there. And this is because there is a hereditary link. There's a family history link with glaucoma that we might not always pick up. It's not there in everybody's family. But if it is, you might not know your family history going far back. And what we know now is that if glaucoma is coming down through generations, it happens 10 years earlier with each generation. So if we don't know what our great-great-grandparents had, you know,
Doctor, I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Is pressure is glaucoma?
The eye pressure, it's not. The glaucoma is what the pressure is doing to the nerve. So we all have a certain level of pressure inside the eye. If that pressure starts to go up, then it starts to impact the nerve at the back of the eye and damage it, and then we call it glaucoma. There are some people who have a pressure that is slightly high and it is not affecting their nerve. They don't have glaucoma. They might just have a high pressure in the eye that may be normal for them or may need monitoring. But when your pressure is affecting the nerve, so we start to see that damage, that's when we call it glaucoma. So the eye pressure is very important in managing glaucoma, controlling it, and diagnosing it as well.
Well, I was a hotel worker, but I cannot work now.
Yeah.
I am going medical on fit.
Right.
I don't know if they will repair, but I don't know if they will catch back the stuff. But
you know, unfortunately,
all this time I have blurry vision.
Yeah. It's one of those things that is very difficult when you get to this advanced stage where the vision is so far gone. And your story is the story of many people.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to prevent.
Exactly.
I thought I would ask a question to you. Why the visual field test?
A visual field test.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard.
One of them. I got to get one of them next week. Yeah.
That helps to show. It's a computerized test that helps to show us in black and white what the peripheral vision damage is like in glaucoma. That helps the doctors to maybe put more of a number on your advanced glaucoma, if it's 90%, 95%, or what.
I hope for the best, though, doctor.
Absolutely, and we hope for the best for you as well. Keep listening.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
All right, you too.
You are very welcome. The time has now gone on to 23 and a half minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. This segment of the Better Health Radio Show, thank you, doc, is brought to you with the kind compliments of Hospital Pack Adult Disposable Briefs, another trusted brand of A.A. Lachise. Call A.A. Lachise at 271-0180. And visit their store at Lanterns Mall. Well, it seems as if the phone line is busy this evening. We still have to get around to the treatment and care of the glaucoma, which is the first question I think the first gentleman asked. But we have a call, Doc. So are we going to proceed?
All right, so we'll take this call and then we'll go on. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening to you, Doc, to Gregston, and Dr. Grosvenor. This is Lawrence.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Doc, I would like you to speak a little bit also before your program is closed about retina detachment, which is very, very, very important. And that's one of the things that can blind you in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is people has, or I suppose you always speak about it, that when you are diabetic or if you like a lot of sugary things, that can also affect your vision. But more importantly, Doc, I want to ask this question. It is said that when you have macular degeneration, which is the optic nerve that goes from the back of the eye to the brain, that simple things like this thing that is always being advertised, I don't know if it's your calling name, can help you.
We also have that on our list of topics to discuss.
And Doc, I will let you, Dr. Grover, that is, mm-hmm. I will let you to tell us, please tell us, what is the latest technology in all facets of eye care?
Oh, boy.
Well, we don't have 2 hours to... We would love to sit here for 2 hours and chat with you.
Dr. Boyce, it just means that you got to bring back Dr. Grosvenor next week.
No, we will have Dr. Grosvenor back. We've had this discussion before.
Splendidly.
So many things to discuss.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for calling.
And don't run away, Doc. I see the light blinking again. So what do we do? Do we take this one?
If the person is willing to hold, we'll just briefly... But let's take the call. Maybe they'll ask the same question. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night to the doc, and good night to everyone in Barbados. Doc, I diagnosed with glaucoma. Are you hearing me?
We are.
Go ahead, sir. We can hear you loud and clear.
And this is since about 2011. I even had a field test, right? Mm-hmm. And I could have seen, and there's something I would like to say, but I don't want to say it on the radio because I don't...
Okay, well, in that case, sir, please, we're asking you not to say it. If you are hesitant about saying it, then more than likely you shouldn't.
Right. Okay. Now, with this glaucoma, right, I also have cataract. Mm-hmm. With whatever little vision I have, mm-hmm. if I get the cataract, would I be able to have a little increase of the sight?
Okay, that question is one for your doctor for sure, because we would have to look at the eye and see how much cataract you have and how much glaucoma damage you have, and try to figure out which of the two is contributing more to the poor eyesight. So if, for example, your glaucoma is really advanced and your doctor looks at it and he or she can see that your glaucoma is the prime reason that the vision is bad, then it would not make sense to remove the cataract, because you would remove the cataract and the glaucoma damage would still be there in the background. If, however, your doctor can look and see that the cataract is contributing to the poor eyesight, then they would say, well, remove the cataract and you'll get some improvement. Now, you still would not expect it to go back to what it was 20 years ago, like with somebody who didn't have glaucoma, because you might still have that background glaucoma damage. But if your cataract is really contributing to the poor eyesight, then it's possible to get an improvement with surgery. But it is only possible to figure that out. It's a delicate assessment by your doctor having a look.
I'm advising you. This is what... For me, I don't know for others, right? Mm-hmm. But the doctors I deal with don't communicate that very much the way I would like them to communicate, so that I'd be able to have a better understanding. Because if a doctor communicates with you good, you'll be able to measure when they're not around.
Yeah.
I have not been getting that since 2011.
You need to change your doctor, right? Sir.
And also put that question to them, you know. And it's a criticism that we have to take on board as physicians as well, to really talk to our patients more and listen, you know, ask them if they have any questions, not just have the information going from one direction all the time. Because what I have found is that what people are most worried about, what is on their mind, might not be what you as a physician is more concerned in your mind, you know.
That's one of the... Sorry, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Are you holding on to see, because I'm supposed to have an operation, hoping.
Good.
But back so many times, man, that you don't... Right? I even said that I may even go blind for they to bring back the sight.
No, we hope that is not the case, sir.
Well, I'm hoping so. That's the whole thing. But we'll see how it goes.
And remember, ask your questions.
In a way, I will have to accept it and adjust and work the suit. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think you have a very good attitude, you know, that if worse came to worse, that you would adjust. But like Dr. Grosvenor is saying, don't keep these questions inside. And sometimes I tell patients, if you think that you might not remember, before you go to your appointment, write down the important things that you want to discuss with your doctor. Whilst we do not want to have a reel of questions, you know how you see the things dropped on in the cartoons, this long, long list, we really do want to address your concerns. So take that information to your doctor and try again. And if you're not satisfied, sir, there certainly are a number of doctors to whom you can go, where you can get the service that you think you are deserving of. So Dr. Grosvenor, a patient comes to have their eyes examined, what can they expect?
So the eye examination is painless. It's relatively quick as well. You put your chin on a machine that has a light. So we usually use a light to look at the eye, the front of the eye, the back of the eye. The beautiful thing about the eye is that with our technology, it's one of the few tissues where you can see the blood supply, you can see the blood vessels.
It's very pretty.
And you can see the nerves. And you can see, you know, everything that is there, that is happening in the eye is available for the doctor to detect. That's one of the reasons I really love ophthalmology as opposed to some of the other disciplines where, you know, you're more of a detective kind of feeling around in the dark. In ophthalmology, the whole story is laid out for you in the person's eye.
And it's well lit.
And it's well lit. You know, we often say, the poets say that the eyes are the windows to the soul, but actually the eyes are the windows to the body as well, because as you said, a lot of medical illnesses show up in the eyes first, that, or they have signs that show up in the eyes. You can see signs of high cholesterol, of hypertension, of diabetes.
Autoimmune diseases, you can see those. HIV can be seen in the back of the eye as well.
Before we forget, gentleman mentioned about retina detachment.
Yeah.
He also asked about the latest technology, which you alluded to a little bit there just now, and the gentleman with the care and management. So those are just the things that we noted that we have to touch on before we
run out of time in another, 28 minutes. But Gretchen, let me just say that if ever working on the radio does not work out for you, you can always become a secretary. Very efficient.
You are so kind.
Let's talk.
I will take that as it's meant to be.
Yes.
Compliment it's meant to be.
Just leave it alone. Thank you, dog. Will you hire me? No. I see. No, there's a reluctance to say yes. No. Anyhow, that's.
I don't think that I can afford your skills. So let's talk about the treatment. How do we treat persons who have glaucoma? Is it a watch and wait thing, or once you have glaucoma, you must be treated?
Yes, really, once we make that diagnosis, you generally need to be treated. Mm-hmm. I can probably count on less than one hand the situations where you have glaucoma, you're not treated. In our situation in the Caribbean, where our glaucoma is usually quite severe, and as you've heard today, can be very advanced, you need treatment because we want to hold on to that vision that you have. If you don't treat it, then there's a risk that that vision will gradually deteriorate and it will gradually go. Normally, the mainstay of treatment or the first thing we would give is eye drops. But now again, with modern technology and advancements, we have an option now of laser treatment for glaucoma, which gives persons the opportunity to avoid eye drops or defer eye drops. Now, there's a big caveat to this. Laser treatment does not work for everyone and is not appropriate for everyone or every kind of glaucoma. Okay. So again, the treatment is very individualized, and this is really how glaucoma treatment is now in the modern world. It is completely individualized to that eye. If you are a young person, like Dr. Boyce, and God forbid you're diagnosed with glaucoma, you might say to yourself, well, I don't really want to put in these drops every day but for the rest of my life.
You see, it's not that I don't treatment. Want to. It's not that I don't want to. It is ridiculous, Dawn, to put drops in my eye. The drops go everywhere. Cheeks, nose, forehead.
Then, there you go.
I just can't.
So then we could give you the option of laser treatment, and we would say, well, when you use drops, you have a 99% chance they will bring your pressure down, they will work. Laser treatment, however, only has about a 75% chance of success. But if you're in that 75%, it's successful. It won't last forever. It lasts a maximum of 5 years, but it is repeatable.
I was just about
so
to ask.
So there's some, and it is, again, quick and easy, something we do in the office. It's not surgery. It takes about 10, 15 minutes to do. The challenge we have in our system, where we have a vast number of people in the public sector, laser treatment is only available in the private sector at the moment. But of course, because I have a vested interest in glaucoma, that is something that I really think is critical for us in the public sector. And for the policymakers as well, it's potentially more cost effective to give someone one laser treatment that would last 5 years as opposed to funding their eye drops
every month
every month for 5 years.
We have a call. Let's take this call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Yes, good evening. This is a quick question. But good evening to everybody in the studio.
Hi, good evening, sir.
You know, peripheral, you knew the word peripheral, which is, you were saying to the left and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
But does this looking down to it, mm-hmm. if you can't see below, that is peripheral too?
That's peripheral too, below and above. So it's almost mm-hmm. like all around in a circle.
Oh, I thought it was only to the two sides.
Mm-hmm. All around. And a lot of people with glaucoma find that the peripheral vision looking down is a challenge. Yeah. Judging steps, walking over uneven ground is a potential cause of fall. So it's something to consider if people are a bit unsteady in that way.
So in the case of that, what should the person do?
Well, if you have peripheral vision damage looking down, there's nothing we can do to bring back that area of the sight. So once you are aware that is there now, you have to now make the appropriate adjustments, right? Make sure that when you're going up or down steps that you actually look directly to see what you're doing. Try to, you know, make sure that you're in lighted areas or good lighting in your house, for example, if it's an area with a step down or a step up. For us as a society, thinking about an accessible society, you would think about, you know, in other countries and here as well, you notice you come to the traffic lights or the edge of the curb and there's usually a yellow line or a mark or a change in the pavement to let you know it's
that you've reached the end.
Mm-hmm. All these little things, though, you just have to make the appropriate adjustments.
And this is caused by pressure of the eye too?
Because the glaucoma is what damages peripheral vision. So it's like a cycle. It starts with the high pressure, the pressure damages the nerve, and the damage to the nerve shows up as damage to the peripheral vision.
So at this point in time, is there anything you should do or could do? Should you go to see a doctor?
If you have not seen an eye doctor before and you're experiencing a problem like that, you definitely need to go and see an eye doctor. If you have already seen an eye doctor and you're on treatment, you have to stick to your treatment and keep up with the follow-ups, because just because the eye drop was working 10 years ago doesn't mean the same eye drop is working just as well now. So it's really important to keep up with those checks as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
All right. Let me jump in here. Thank you, sir. Let me jump in here quickly before Dr. Boyce takes back over the floor. Still with the call, the first caller, because I heard him. You did mention the part about the treatment with laser and also eye drops. That's part of the treatment and management of the glaucoma. But he also mentioned, and I heard this, about natural remedies, natural treatments.
Yeah, we're going to get there, Kristen. It's on there.
Oh, so I just want, I don't want him to think that we have forgotten. And that one is of interest to me because I hear people saying a lot of stuff and I got the feeling that I know what they're talking about.
Yes.
So I just want to hear your opinion on that. But don't let me sidetrack you. Carry on smartly.
Of course not. Actually, what we can do is take a break now.
Mm.
And we have a very special caller that we want to have a discussion with about glaucoma. So we're going to take that break and then we'll speak with the caller and come back and finish up with Dr. Grosvenor and the other aspects of glaucoma.
What about retina detachment?
A completely different area of the eye, and the macular degeneration he mentioned as well
mm-hmm.
is a different area. It's the back of the eye, but not the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a completely different disease and also potentially damaging to the vision, as he correctly said.
And what will happen is that we can discuss macular degeneration and retinal detachment when Dr. Grosvenor comes back, and we have another ophthalmologist who's going to be coming in too. So don't worry, this just means that you have to continue listening to the Better Health Radio Show.
We're getting through the topic, so that's wonderful. All right, it's fast approaching 19 before the hour of 7 o'clock. Gotta say a big thank you to A.A. Lachise. This segment of the Better Health Radio Show is brought to you with the kind compliments of Hospital Pack Adult Disposable Briefs, another trusted brand of A.A. Lachise. Call A.A. Lachise at 271-0180. And visit their store at Lanterns Mall. Doc?
Welcome back to the Better Health Radio Show. This evening we are in with Dr. Don Grosvenor and we're discussing glaucoma. Now we have on the line Mr. Johnson. This is not his real name. He does not have any relation to anybody that you might know called Mr. Johnson. This is just the name that we've decided to give him this afternoon. Good evening, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, good evening.
Thank you for being with us this evening. So I will turn over to Dr. Grosvenor and let her direct this part of the segment.
So I just wanted him to share with us really how he was diagnosed and anything else that, you know, he thinks callers particularly of his age group, might wish to hear about glaucoma, but really the story of diagnosis, because we're trying to encourage people to come out and get their eyes checked early, especially men, because I'm seeing more and more men of a younger age group, like the caller earlier said, he's not 65 yet, being affected and being affected severely. So if you could just tell us your story.
Okay. Well, first of all, I was having no challenge with my eyes, and to go to the optician to have my eyes checked. And it was during this check that they noticed that the pressures in my eye were very high. And that they were so concerned that he called to have an appointment with an ophthalmologist so that I figured out what was going on. And from that initial meeting, that's basically how I found out about glaucoma. I found out that my pressures were high. I was put on a program of drops to reduce the pressures. I would say this, and I have no problem admitting it. I don't think I followed the instructions as it should in terms of, you know, I just said sometimes you don't want to take drops, right? Again, but eventually things reached such a stage where my pressures weren't coming down, and I was eventually referred. And the only thing that could be done at that stage was basically to have surgery. You know, the thought of losing your eye, your vision and everything, you know, it makes you want to, it really makes you think a lot. So I approached the surgery. It was an interesting experience. Actually, I ended up having surgery on both eyes within 1 year. And you can't really regain what you've lost, but you've learned to adjust. And that adjustment for me has been a little challenging at first, because I used to be driving. And then, you know, I found that driving became sort of a challenge for me in terms of not being able to see things properly, or having to focus a lot more on things. So then, you know, you have to make that hard decision, no more driving. Even in the work environment, I've had some challenges with the lighting in the office and those type of things. But what I can say today is that at one point my pressures were 20, in the high 20s and so on. And I think my pressures now are close to around under 10 or something like that right now. But since my surgeries, my pressures have come down tremendously. And even though I can't have my vision as it was years ago, it is a lot more comfortable from that point of view, knowing that at least I can maintain it until whenever.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so many points that came out of that and maybe resonated with you as well. The impact that glaucoma can have on a relatively young person, somebody who's of working age.
He sounded relatively young.
Somebody of working age, right? The caller before also talked about peripheral vision, and the caller before talked about how it can affect your walking and looking down, but also we have to think about driving, right? How many young people would want to give up their driving if they didn't have to? So we're advising people to get checked for glaucoma and sensitizing people to all these things, not just because we're doctors and we think it's important, but because it has an impact, it can have such a personal impact on your lives and on the society as a whole.
Yeah, if you think about the person with glaucoma as the primary breadwinner for that family,
right,
and then they're not able to work as a result of the glaucoma, then that whole family is impacted.
Exactly. This caller, you know, we were able to act and preserve his vision and keep him working, but our previous caller said he had to come off
medically
of work
unfit.
Medically unfit. And we don't want that. We want to keep people contributing to society and contributing for their families as well.
So, Mr. Johnson, we really do want to say thank you very much for sharing your story with us. We really do appreciate it, and we wish you continued success with your vision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's the name we give him, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
I would have given him Bond. James. James Bond.
Okay, that's all at you.
Carry on, Doc.
So we wanted to talk about...
Oh, Doc, sorry for interrupting you again, but there's someone eager to talk to you and Dr. Grosvenor. So let's go right ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. Thank you for turning your radio down.
Yes, thanks. I just want to ask a question. All this talk about glaucoma and cataract and such, like, what kind of foods can you eat to avoid these kind of things in your body?
Okay, so that brings us to our answering that question about natural treatment and what a person individually can do. Before I get to that, I'll mention quickly surgery.
Sure.
Because we talked about laser and drops as early treatments, but for persons like the last caller, if those things do not work, then... and there's a need for surgery, then it's important to intervene and do the correct surgery for the person at the correct time. Glaucoma surgery, as he correctly said, can't give back the vision, but it can preserve and do what the drops or laser were not able to do. Now, these are all things we the doctors are offering to the patients, but patients always want to know, we all want to know, what can we do individually for ourselves? Mm-hmm. Have a healthy, balanced diet. So for this gentleman who is asking his question, what foods to eat, the same healthy foods that we talk about eating as if you'd have a low salt diet and a low sugar diet. Things that are very good for the eyes are green leafy vegetables, so things like spinach and kale. Carrots, of course, everybody knows that those are good for the eyes. But you really want to have a healthy, balanced diet, because there's no one thing specifically that will, you know, target your eye. All those things are good for your body in general. You keep a low salt, low sugar diet, mm-hmm. because you're trying to minimize your risk of hypertension and diabetes, or control them, because those things can independently affect your eyes as well. We have heard many people ask me the question about the natural remedies that they may hear advertised on the radio. And I can say that specifically for L-arginine, because I get asked that question a lot. Mm-hmm. And anybody who Googles L-arginine on the internet, we'll find that of the many purported indications, glaucoma is not actually one of them that is advertised. It does not help your eye pressure, and it doesn't help your glaucoma. Many years ago, it was actually investigated by the scientific community as part of something that could improve as a molecule that could improve your blood supply. And the theory being that maybe if we improve the blood supply to the nerve, it would be healthier. But all those studies prove that it did not help for glaucoma. So L-arginine isn't advised.
And the other big one, let's talk about marijuana.
And marijuana now is the other one. So in the 70s, the idea of marijuana for eye pressure and glaucoma came about because they discovered that marijuana users, that marijuana would lower your eye pressure. The problem is it only lowers your eye pressure for 2 or 3 hours at a time. And of all the hundreds of chemicals within the cannabis plant, only two categories really affect the eye pressure. Glaucoma is a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week.
Including Sundays.
Including Sundays disease. So if you have a medication that's only working for 2 or 3 hours at a time, you would have to be taking that for the whole 24 hours every single day. And then you would start to get some of the other negative effects from the other chemicals. So it's not recommended for glaucoma. And that is not just me saying that. The official word of the ophthalmology bodies internationally in places where cannabis has been legalized or decriminalized say that as well. The American Academy of Ophthalmology, the Canadian Association of Ophthalmology, and the European Board of Ophthalmology all have official statements saying that cannabis is not recommended, marijuana is not recommended for glaucoma at this time. They add the caveat at this time because, you know,
we never know.
Mm-hmm. We don't know everything. But we also have to remember that plants have chemicals. The reason that plants and natural remedies might work for some things is because they have chemicals in them. It's not that they're chemical-free compared to your other medications. So we always have to remember that. Just recently, I had a gentleman who had some serious side effects from some other natural remedies that he had been combining and taking. And on the L-arginine front, colleagues of mine, and I've experienced it myself as well with patients who, having heard the very encouraging, perhaps overly encouraging advertisement, went on to use these things and stopped their medication and lost their vision. So this is a serious cautionary tale. I advise people, we as doctors don't know everything, And if there's anything you want to try, just raise it with your doctor, just ask a question. For many of these things, they are harmless for the eyes, but you won't know unless you ask the question.
Okay, thank you.
And this is just backing up what Dr. Grosvenor was saying. One of the universities in the U.S. was saying the same thing. Glaucoma needs to be treated 24 hours a day, so you would need to smoke marijuana 6 to 8 times a day around the clock to get the benefit of a consistently lowered eye pressure. So it really is not practical. And then they go on to speak about the other side effects that you get from smoking marijuana. So this is not Dr. Grosvenor. Please don't go and crucify Dr. Grosvenor about speaking about marijuana and glaucoma. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I take Largenine every day. Largenine capsules.
Mm-hmm.
Or tablets. And also a jingle blower. But I have early glaucoma. And it largely helps me with the circulation and so on. Along with the jingle blower. But I have that at the pharmacy again. What can help the early glaucoma? Our doctor. Because I can see very well. Very well I can see.
Good. This is a great example for the time being. Let's be hopeful and positive. This is a great example. The gentleman said he has early glaucoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have early glaucoma, then your vision is practically, for all intents and purposes, it's normal. We can detect the signs of glaucoma, but you won't have any major effects. He's taking these other herbal things, which are harmless to the eyes. You know, they're not going to cause any problem with your eyes, but I always caution people not to, you know, not to throw away their medication and use these exclusively, to definitely let your eye doctors know about them.
I use eye drops every night.
Exactly. And that's absolutely critical, because that eye drop is lowering your eye pressure and maintaining your glaucoma at an early level and keeping your eyesight good. So keep going with that, regardless of whatever else you do.
Before we go, also, right, I see it, pressure tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I see it, cholesterol tablet. I see aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly it. And I don't get a side effect for drop.
Good. And the other thing I just want to say.
I also see it. Like GI tablet.
Okay. And please let your doctor know, whichever doctor is prescribing the blood pressure and tablet, the aspirin and the cholesterol tablet,
Let
them know you're taking the ginkgo and the L-arginine as well.
They know.
Okay, fine. Then that's no problem. What's
it? I can create.
Good. Excellent.
And they have transferred my information to my daughter. And he knows what's going on.
Great. Wonderful.
But I said inform him, because, you know, I'm concerned with myself.
All right, sir. Thank you kindly for your comments and your remarks.
You take care.
Nice for you to call in and give us your experience.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
We've got a few minutes left, mm-hmm. So let's jump right into Glaucoma Week.
Right. So if people want to find out more and get more of these questions answered, we're having a public lecture and panel discussion as the first event, as one of the early events in Glaucoma Week. That's on Monday, March the 9th at the QH Auditorium at 6 p.m. That's the place to come and hear a lot more about glaucoma and to hear other patients' stories, to share your own story. On the panel, we'll have patients or relatives, and I have a fellow ophthalmologist, Dr. Kirk Miller, who is a general ophthalmologist who also has an interest in glaucoma. So he'll be sharing his experience as well. We always start the week officially with a church service on Sunday, March the 8th. That's at Abundant Life Assembly in Bank Hall at 8 a.m. And then throughout the week, people have the opportunity to access free screening at any optometrist, optician, optical place, or ophthalmologist. Just call your nearest one or look out on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter pages, and you'll find out where you can go to get free testing the week of March 9th to the 14th.
So there's no excuse. We'll take this call quickly and then we'll sum up. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, Dr. Boyce, Dr. Gregson, and the other doctor.
Yes, please. Good evening.
Remember to turn your radio down. We're getting a little bit of feedback. And we really do want to hear you clearly.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem at all there.
Okay. I have a sister who is 85, right? She's blind. She's already blind, and she has glaucoma. Right. And she takes drops every day, but she said the drops burns her eyes. Mm-hmm. And she keep on rubbing them and rubbing them all the time. So is there anything she can do?
Definitely raise that with her doctor, because there are a number of different reasons why you can get burning and discomfort in the eyes. It might be that the eye itself is dry and she might need a lubricant eye drop to soothe it. Or it might be that the drop is not agreeing with her and they need to make an adjustment there. So raise it with her doctor so they can look at her eyes and look at the drop and see what can be done.
Well, that sounds very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So let me ask you a quick question, Dawn, before you go. I'm going to ask a question. I am taking privileges. Some person who has glaucoma, who's blind, still needs to take drops?
Still needs to take drops, because if you stop taking your drops, your pressure might go so high that you then start to get pain in the eye, or you get other complications like corneal complications. So you should still take them.
Yes, we have another call. Let's take this last call. Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, I'm inquiring about the time, March the 9th, at what time and which place?
6 p.m. at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital Auditorium. That's the public lecture and panel discussion, Monday the 9th of March at 6 p.m.
All right, good, thanks. Queen Elizabeth Hospital, good.
Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
All right, thanks.
What is that one thing, Dawn, Dr. Grosvenor? What's that one thing you want our listeners to keep at home?
Glaucoma is really important, and it touches all of us. All of us will have either a family member or a co-worker, a friend or a child, a parent, somebody who has glaucoma. So we should be aware of it. We should all be checked for it, because we have in Barbados one of the highest risks. And this year we're focusing on the men, because I'll talk more about this in the lecture, but men in Barbados are actually at greater risk for glaucoma than women. And we know that because of a large piece of research that was done at the University of the West Indies. We've heard a lot of men's voices this evening.
Yes, and in half an hour, there were three men who were diagnosed.
That. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm really encouraging the men to come out to the public lecture and hear about this, ask your questions. And it's really important for the men to, you know, get their eyes checked. And for the women in their lives, if they don't want to get their eyes checked, to really make sure that you support them to do that.
Sometimes sitting here, it makes me wonder, what's the advantage of being a man? Because we learned that we get heart attacks faster, is that correct, Doc? Or more frequent, I should say. We just learned that it's more prevalent, glaucoma is more prevalent with men. We die sooner than women. My goodness me. Whoa.
So it behooves men to
make sure
that they have proper health-seeking behavior, and they have at least their annual physicals.
Mm-hmm.
They take their medication. If they don't like the medication, don't stop. Just like that, go have a discussion with your doctor so that the medications can be adjusted. Have that discussion. That's what it's all about, discussion.
So the message is, men, go to your doctor.
Yes. Our society needs our men to be strong and contributing.
Yes, we do need them. We've been here at the Better Health Radio Show. We've been discussing glaucoma with Dr. Dawn Grosvenor, ophthalmologist and person who has a special interest in glaucoma. A week of activities coming up from next week. So
let her give the information again, please.
Sure.
Okay, so we have the church service on Sunday, the 8th of March at Abundant Life Gethsemane at 8 a.m. Then we have the public lecture at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in the auditorium there at 6 p.m. on Monday, the 9th of March. And then all week long, from the Monday to Saturday, every eye care professional will be offering free testing, and they can just contact their nearest professional to find out when.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Grosvenor. And I'm sure you have some parting words for us, Gregston.
Yes, we want to thank A.A. Lakis. This segment of the Better Health Radio Show was brought to you with the kind compliments of Hospital Pack Adult Disposable Briefs, another trusted brand of A.A. Lakis. Please call them at 271-0180, or you can visit their store at Lanterns Mall. That's A.A. Lakis at 271-0180.
So next week, I believe the show is on advanced directives. What to do before death sets in. What do you want to have done? So listen out for that. Possibility always exists that even although I say that this is what might be happening, we might have to make an adjustment or so on. But I think that's what's on the books for next week. So looking forward to having that discussion with our doctor then. So listen out, same time, same place, 6 to 7 p.m. here on VOB 92.9 FM.
That is quite right. And you can see that there was a need for Dr. Grosner, really. The calling feedback was very prevalent.
I would
ask that you bring her back as soon as possible, as soon as our schedule allows.
Right, as soon as the schedule allows, because there's so many exciting things coming up. We have asthma coming up, we have advanced directives, we have things that impair your vision, so maybe some of those topics can go in there. We also have what to do after you die, well, not you, but the other persons who are left in your life. So lots to listen out for in the Better Health Radio Show.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Renee Boyce and Dr. Dawn Grosner. Like the doc said, next week, Sunday, 6 until 7, that's the time scheduled for the Better Health Radio Show. And on this occasion, another big thank you to A.A. Laquiste for their sponsorship of this program. So until next week, Doctor, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful evening, Dr. Boyce and Dr. Grosner.
Oh, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Wednesday coming up is World Obesity Day. So if you wanted to have a day to mark in your mind for when you started your healthy journey, for, you know, that you owe me lunch, by the way, but we'll discuss that. Wednesday is World Obesity Day. So you can use that day to start your healthy lifestyle. As a matter of fact, why not start now?
You will get lunch because I'm a good guy, not because I will lose.
Okay.
All right. All right. All right. 3 minutes after 7 is our time. Once again, thank you to the good doctors, and we will see and hear the program next weekend.